This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
So it seems as though we have a clip. You want to set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, the whole show's clip of the day.
A short clip here. And this is catching quickly. It's going viral here, Michael. Purdue has officially named Tommy McClelland their new vice president and director of intercollegiate athletics. Isn't he just their AD? I mean, what are we doing? Their athletic director. Just play it, Mike. Here's what it is.
Every recruit, every current student athlete will hear this message repeatedly. We are here to win championships. If you don't want to win championships, go to Indiana.
Now, Michael, I don't pretend to be a scientist. I'm not the smartest of human beings on this planet, but would it be out of the realm of possibility for me to ask and just clarify, didn't Indiana win the most recent championship?
Yeah, I'm sure he was not talking about Indiana football. Maybe he only pays attention to the basketball team.
Which, they're pretty good, right?
Yeah, I mean, their basketball team's been all right. Hasn't been the same since Bobby Knight.
Okay, you make an interesting point. You think he's not talking about football?
What the hell he's talking about. When he says that everyone's going to keep saying it or everyone's going to remember it, of course they will. Because when you lose badly to very, very now powerful, thanks to Mark Cuban, Indiana. Like,
yeah,
they're going to throw that back in your face. What the hell are you thinking?
Indiana's going to put up a 50 burger on them when they play.
They might.
Do you know how many games Purdue won last year? Take a guess.
Two.
Ball State and Southern Illinois.
Okay, well, first of all, Brady, Ball State is an amazing program. For their size. Who was the other one?
Southern Illinois.
I thought that was a community college.
Well, they beat them 34-17, and they didn't win another game.
I mean, this is... Come on. I know you're trying to rally the troops. I know you have a rivalry with Indiana since you're in Indiana.
They lost.
What the hell?
56-3 to Indiana last year. Last game of the season, November 28th. 56-3.
Brady, this is a new year, and they have new athletes all from the transfer portal.
They play each other again, final week of the season. And you know, this will resurface big time when that game comes up.
By the way, guys, this is not a rivalry that anyone outside of Indiana gives a crap about.
No, but if in some weird world, as an athletic director, you weren't talking about football first, if he was just talking about the rest of the college, and I don't have like Purdue's championships compared to Indiana's championship. Maybe you could find that, Mike. Just the stat you found for Washington the other day in the Pac-12.
Now they're better than like five teams.
Conference
in the
champions, Pac-12. But maybe you can find the stat, the comparison between Indiana overall championships compared to Purdue. Maybe he's talking about that. Look at you trying to be positive and give him the benefit of the doubt. But you don't start with that, especially because Indiana just won the biggest of the championships, which is the college football championship.
Purdue has 26 Big Ten titles to Indiana's 22 titles.
Big Ten? So they're beating them there.
National championships. Indiana won the college football national championship in 2025.
I knew I was right about
last
that.
Last national championship title was, take a guess.
Purdue football?
Yeah, the last time they won a championship.
Did they?
1931.
Ah.
You take me, combine the ages, still hadn't won since
then. Can you
find
anything that compares their actual national championships? Not just football, but like everything. Like swimming and tennis and basketball and all the other sports. Is there anything in your notes?
It just mentions the two sports.
What are we doing here? Like, was he... He's going to get so much crap for that. Was he joking?
It doesn't sound like he was joking. It sounded like he's like, come on, guys, let's rally the troops. But no one followed William Wallace into war.
I don't... Is Purdue... How... Purdue... When's the last time they were good?
I mean, the last time they were, like, super good, like, super relevant...
Yeah.
Washington beat them in the Rose
Bowl. Nobody cares. I'm just looking. Like, 21, they were 8-4. They're a bowl team. Not good in 2019. I'm just seeing if, like, in the last 10 years, they were legit.
We're talking about the 1990s. It might have been 2000 when they – and the Rose Bowl, big daddy of them all, big bowl game.
Yeah, when was that, though?
They lost.
What year was that?
I think it was 99.
So they haven't been good. Mike, they really haven't been good in well over – I'm going all the way back here, man. They haven't been good in football – I'm all the way into 2007, Mike, and all I'm seeing is like 6 wins, 7 wins, 8 wins, like the best. That's the best that I've seen.
Yeah, and great mascot, too.
8
Boilermakers.
That's kind of cool.
No. More like Boil Havers.
They were 7-4 in 2004. Thank you, Faith. She found what I was looking for that you couldn't find, Michael.
Faith is a good
Purdue
internet-er.
Has 5 total, and Indiana has 24. Across all sports. Okay, so what are I'm just like, what is he saying? Is he that unplugged?
Yes.
Purdue has 31 individual national championships. Boy, that's pretty good. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
When we think of championships, we think of national championships. One just won the national championship a few months ago. The other hasn't won in 95
years. So
this guy,
I'm getting conflicting reports too. This guy sent me this, a texter. National titles, 25 for Indiana, 3 for Purdue. They got one in women's basketball in 1999, men's golf 1961, women's golf 2010. Doesn't seem accurate because they're leaving out the one from 1918 or whatever you gave me, 1931.
I mean, it could come from like they might not be counting that one because, I mean, there weren't as many teams playing each other. I would count it.
Men's soccer was good for Indiana. Men's basketball was good, obviously storied, but.
But no longer.
Haven't been like that since the 80s.
If you're going to pick a today, like which team is more likely to win championships in football, it's Indiana by far. In basketball, it's Purdue by kind of far.
Purdue's university their last official NCAA team national championship was won by the women's golf team in 2010. So that's their last national championship. Okay, I'm just like, is this guy okay?
I think what he did
Play it again. Play it again. I want to hear it again.
Every recruit, every current student athlete will hear this message repeatedly. We are here to win championships. If you don't want to win championships, go to Indiana.
That wasn't one of those, they may take our lives, but they won't take our freedom things. That was like, one of those.
Clarify.
I think we can beat the British today.
He could say, like, the future, 26 and beyond, if you don't want to win championships, yeah, go to Indiana because those days are done. Purdue's time now. Like that kind of thing. Say that.
That would have been better.
Right.
That would have been better.
Right. Instead, it's if you don't want to win championships, go to Indiana. It's like, wait, Indiana wins championships. They
won a championship.
Well, they win championships.
In the most relevant sport.
Sport. Most recent.
Yes.
Faith says maybe he meant Indiana State. Yeah, maybe. If you don't want to win championships. Ooh, let me guess. You like that Kurt Cignetti and how famous he is. And he's a championship coach and very successful every year he's been in it. And, oh, their quarterback was a first-round pick. And he's probably going to start later on for the Raiders. If you want that kind of life, then go to Indiana. Storied college and whatnot. It was dumb.
If I was him, well, you know what? We would forgive someone from Ohio State saying this. You'd forgive them. You'd go, yeah, okay, Michigan won a couple years ago. But you'd forgive them for that because Ohio State's really good and Michigan's really good. And you could probably guess, okay, he's saying from now on it's going to be us over them.
Yeah, he's kind of trying to.
This, however, is not a storied rivalry unless you're inside the state of Indiana. I mean, I care more about the Minnesota-Wisconsin rivalry in football than I do any game that Purdue plays, unless it's against one of my teams.
16 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, I do have a clip, not clip of the day, but I do want to play this. Jay Sauvel spoke about this weird story, and again, I'm very clear to say this, not involving Wyoming punter Bart Edmiston, but because people are accusing him, it sounds like there's just zero evidence to prove anything here. He is now pursuing legal action. His family is pursuing legal action over accusations that he killed this guy named Nolan Wells. 17 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
The Preps football broadcast will sound a little different this season. Hear Jerry Schammel, Bruce Dick, and the studio man Kyle Johnson every Friday night this football season. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Been a little bit of a development on this story. The reason, like, people are wondering, to connect the dots here, Nolan Wells was found dead on Mississippi's Horn Island on July 6th. Why is that a story we're talking about? Because certain people are trying to involve Wyoming punter Bart Edmiston. And now there are certain people online, there are groups online that are accusing certain people of being involved or even committing the murder over committing murder on Nolan Wells. We kind of know the story. Alex Taylor, again, not a lot of people are deep into this story. I've reached out to a few people, even Alex, and they're kind of like, we're still sifting through a lot of this. But we know that Bart Jr. was on Horn Island. He was boating. He sees a boat broken down. He goes and helps this boat out. Now, the people out on there, Nolan Wells is not on that boat, but apparently that was his party. That was his group. He stayed on shore, and apparently they were all been drinking a lot. And then he goes missing. He's there with his girlfriend or something, and then he goes missing, and they find his body. And I found this story. Third person charged with threatening witnesses in Nolan Wells' investigation. This according to NBC News. Three people have been charged with threatening witnesses in the investigation surrounding the death of Mississippi teen Nolan Wells in three different instances. One of the three defendants, Edward James Porter, is accused of making multiple threats to two witnesses July 31st, according to court documents obtained by NBC News. According to a probable cause affidavit, Porter made multiple calls to two witnesses, threatening to kill them and their families. He said he knew where they lived and told the second witness he would cut them up and put them into a suitcase, the document said. Wells was found July 6th at the northwest tip of Mississippi's Horn Island, 2 days after he ventured to the area with a large group of friends to celebrate the July 4th holiday. His friends have told officials that they needed to leave the gathering early because their boat was taking on water, and that Wells had told them he wanted to stay behind and catch a later ride with other people. They say that's when they last saw their friend. When he never returned home, Nolan Wells' mother and one of his friends reported him missing to the authorities. The family's lawyer, civil rights attorney Ben Crump, has since questioned the circumstances surrounding his death, calling into question whether race was a factor, as it appeared Wells was one of a few black people there that day. This is information that we're trying to sift through here. Crump has also rejected notions from law enforcement officials that Wells may have drowned, citing the teenager's ability to swim well and his athletic past. Well, if they were drinking, and again, that's just one of the stories, that there was alcohol involved. So now you got people threatening witnesses. First, it's wild. But this punter for Wyoming, Bart Edmiston Jr., again, they tell their the party tells Nolan Wells, hey, our boat's taking on water. We got to get back, man. We got to go. Bart finds this boat. He's boating, doing his thing, according to the story we know now. And he goes and helps them. Jumps over to their boat, helps them out, tows them for a bit. And then I believe he goes his separate ways, his way. Jay Sauvel, head coach of the Wyoming Cowboys, did speak about this yesterday. We saw that we got the video from Ethan Bird, one of our guys. And here's Jay Sauvel.
Regarding the tragic death of Nolan Wells in Mississippi and the very public social media link to one of our players, Bart Edmiston, at no time since July 4th has we been aware in any way, shape, or form, has it come to our attention that Bart Edmiston has been a suspect, ever been a suspect, or currently is a suspect. We have no information that has ever linked him to this, okay? And so that's where that's at. We'll have no further comment on it until the matter is, the official investigation is completed. Bart doesn't have a defense attorney and never has had a defense attorney. His family does have a personal attorney, Russell Latino, who was retained to fight defamation issued against Bart and his family. And so any other comment or questions that you want regarding that and Bart would be directed at Mr. Latino. But as far as us in the program right now, again, like I said, we have had no information. Nothing has been brought to our attention that he was ever a suspect or is a suspect.
The news that we have, again, you just go with what you go with the information that's in front of you. Yeah, Jay Sauvel's right. Nothing we've read so far, and I've Googled this and I've been researching this, and his name doesn't come up at all when you're researching suspects or anything like that. But there's a group that's randomly throwing him into this because he's in the story because he helped, I think allegedly, I don't know, what we believe is he helped the boat that Nolan, the boat with people on it that Nolan Wells was with. They go back, they're leaving, and he's going to catch a ride with somebody else, is what he tells their buddies, his buddies. The boat is struggling. And what we think is that Bart Edmiston on his boat finds them and goes and helps them and then tows them and then unhooks and goes his separate way. That's what we believe right now. And for some reason, there is a group, several groups maybe, that are throwing his name around as a suspect. We don't even know if he was murdered, Michael. Some are saying he drowned. They're still investigating this. Very weird story. And again, the only reason we talk about it is because it's connected to Wyoming. And I'll tell you, like, these two of the reporters that I've mentioned here that are somewhat going over this in Wyoming, rightfully so, are skeptical about jumping on and talking about it because they have the same information that I have. They have no new information, and I think they want to be very careful, me included, as far as what we say, because we want to make damn clear that we are not in any way suggesting that, based on the information we have, that Bart Edmiston was involved in any way in the missing or the death of Nolan Wells. Yes, Michael.
Were any of the people on the internet there?
I don't know.
Because that would be my big question. If they were there,
I don't know.
I'd understand maybe some of the accusations.
It's a big
party scene. But it sounds to me like they're just random people who have a theory.
Well, we don't know that either. We don't know that.
Sounds to me.
Yeah, we don't know. I would imagine somebody that's accusing someone of murder would have either been there and been around and had, they're saying they witnessed some kind of altercation. I don't know. It's crazy to me that a group would just go online and say, yeah, that dude, we know him. That was him. If they weren't at least even out there on this lake. This is a weird story, man.
It is a weird story. And I feel like if
Horn
for
Island.
You to make that accusation, there would have to be some kind of evidence out there.
Well, that's why they're pursuing legal action, because they're trying to get his name out of this. And if his story checks out, then it's just like he was helping this group that, you know, Nolan Wells wasn't even with this group. I mean, he was with them, but not at that time, according to what we have right now.
It sounds like some of these guys who are making these threats are not only in trouble with the lawyer, like they're not only possibly going to get sued, but also misdemeanor charges against him. I mean, witness intimidation.
Yeah, that's wild. I mean,
I know it's online, but it's like that's.
So I got this one. This story came out from the Clarion Ledger about 30 minutes ago. The Mississippi Board of Nursing has closed its investigation into Christine Wansley, the mother of Nolan Wells, ending a review that drew public attention as she sought answers about her son's death. He went missing after the July 4th boat trip with friends to Horn Island. His body was found on July 6th. Questions are still all over the place about this. Shortly after he was found, Jackson County Sheriff John Ledbetter said there was no sign of foul play at the time, and the investigation was ongoing. Wells' family said the announcement was made too early and that law enforcement wasn't communicating enough. They hired, that's this Ben Crump, they hired civil rights attorney to lead a private investigation, including a second autopsy. In the following weeks, Wells' family and his friends who were on the trip have said they've received threats and harassment. So far, three arrests have been made for threatening messages to the family of at least two of the teens, death threats directed to Warren Hudson's stepmother. Chancery Court Judge Ashley Cole reportedly included her younger children and the courthouse. Wansley, the mother, has already been the focus of targeted harassment. People left her and her workplace one-star reviews. The investigator, Crump, the family's investigator, said this is intimidation. This is a warning shot meant to silence a grieving mother who's simply asking what happened to her child. We will not let it stand. This is, again, it's an interesting story, sad story. But this all came about here on this show because Bart Edmiston, somehow, his name has come up in this. And the reporters that I've reached out to, again, dudes I trust, and I talk to them a lot. We have them on this show. Are not like they're both kind of like Alex and Ethan. Excellent dudes, great at their jobs. Are both kind of saying, I got to get more information before we're going to come on and talk about it, because basically everything that I just said is what they know. And this is it's a wild story, and again, based on information we have now, we can't connect Edmiston to this, but
So why are people connecting him?
Well, he helps the group. They're connecting him because he was around the group. And his story, his family story, is that he helped the boat. He was helped them fix their boat, or at least kind of piece it together so they could get it back to shore. That's what we're hearing now anyway. And Jay Sauvel's like, we're not going to talk about it anymore. He doesn't have a defense attorney. They have a family attorney that will help them pursue legal actions over the accusations that he had anything to do with the disappearance and death of Nolan Wells. It's absolutely wild, man. And there's just not, it's weird that there's no information. And it's weird, you know, they're going to do a second autopsy here, and this Crump lawyer, the mother of Nolan Wells, is saying that there's intimidation and people are trying to cover this up. It's wild, dude. It's a crazy story.
This is a case, it sounds like a case of where internet sleuths have no information, but they have accusations and they believe that they are right. And you got to wait for the police report. Right. You got to wait for autopsies.
Well,
you have to wait
for more
information.
Well, but this is a world, you watch the same show I do, Only Murderers in the Building. You've seen it. This is a thing now. People like to make podcasts now. If they're around something bad that happened, they're like, you know, I'm going to investigate this on my own and make podcasts about it. That's a real thing. Like the show is hilarious. It's a good show, Only Murderers in the Building. With Martin Short and Selena Gomez and Steve Martin. I love it. I just finished the most recent season. But that's a real thing, that there are people that are around a crime scene, they're around a crime, and whether they really know the person or not, they're close to it, so they start investigating on their own because they're interested, and then they start doing podcasts, they start doing blogs, whatever. I don't know if that's what this is, or if it's family members or friends of Nolan Wells that are trying to piece things together, too. It's wild. 36 minutes after the hour. Mike, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Here in Colorado, doing business is more than a transaction. It's a handshake, a neighbor helping a neighbor. And at Bank of Colorado, that's the way it's been since 1978. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado. And as Colorado's largest family-owned bank, we're built on personal service and a commitment to giving back. From local schools to community events, we invest where you live, work, and grow. Because this is more than business. It's home. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Nuggets insider Chris Dempsey, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Okay, I have an update here. This is why we like to bring Chris Dempsey, who you just heard that. We like to bring him on, talk Nuggets. Bennett Durando, I believe, of the Denver Post, tweeted out, Lonnie Walker's agreement with the Nuggets is a training camp deal, sources tell the Denver Post. He will compete for a roster spot at camp this fall. Denver still has two open spots. Now, this was originally reported by Shams on ESPN, it was a done deal that the Nuggets had signed Lonnie Walker. In fact, it's still on their homepage, on the NBA homepage on ESPN. Lonnie Walker and the Nuggets agree to a one-year deal worth $3.3 million. And Bennett Durando is saying, no, this is an agreement for training camp. So obviously 1 year, $3.3 million would not be the case. And he will compete for a roster spot. So Lonnie Walker is not officially on the roster for the Nuggets at this point. So there you go. Weird. I don't know. Shams, I think, is pretty good. Pretty rare miss, but a big one. If you're saying someone signed a full 1 year, $3.3 million deal, when really it's just a training camp deal, I'm going to keep a lookout on this and see if they take the story down at some point. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. We have a preseason football game tonight, Michael, between the Arizona Cardinals and the Carolina Panthers. I believe Carson Beck is going to start tonight. Carson Beck, of course, Miami recently. Carson Beck, what do you make Carson Beck? I mean, he was at Georgia for what, 4 years? Played. See, like, how does he have five? He has 5 years. Like, he played, I guess maybe he didn't play enough in 2021. Because, what is it, a four-game minimum? Or 4 games? If you play 4 games, then it counts. Maybe that was the case in 2021. Played for Georgia for 4 years, and then he transferred to Miami. And over his career, you know, not a bad quarterback. But definitely not one they think that fits, like, the obvious billing for an NFL quarterback.
He's a third-rounder, so, I mean, you find some talent in the third round.
That's kind of
why I'm
interested.
But there's a difference between respect as far as first rounder and third rounder.
And then I think on the other side for Carolina, Kenny Pickett tonight. So, okay. I'll be watching. Yeah, I'll have it on in the background, Mike. I'm not going to be like, oh, wow, you know, I'm going to check every single play out. This is must-see television. The Rockies don't play tonight. So, yeah, sure, why not? 6 o'clock on NBC. Carson Beck versus Kenny Pickett. When the Cardinals-Panthers will open up the NFL's preseason.
Yes, this should be a barn burner of a game.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not going to be. It'll be whatever.
You're going to have some of your starters playing, maybe.
But I'm interested in Carson Beck. I'm interested in seeing how he does.
Yeah.
That has interest
to me. He's going to have to play all the games.
All the preseason games? Yeah, he'll be in all the preseason
games. Not the entire time, but all 4 games. You'll probably want him in. You'll probably want him in if you assume he's your starting quarterback. The first half of this game, maybe a quarter of the next game. Third game, most of it game.
Yeah, yeah. No, we know how the preseason goes. We know how it goes, Mike. How much will Bo Nix play in the preseason? Do you think he'll even he'll get like one possession?
And a half.
I don't think he'll get a quarter. Maybe a quarter.
I think he'll get a quarter. Like in this first game, they might give him a drive or two. Give the rest to Jarrett, and then probably in the next game, maybe a full quarter.
No, we'll see. Next week, the Broncos will be in preseason action. So I'm ready to see the Broncos. Like again, I'm not going out to camp. I'm just ready to watch this team. They don't have a lot of crazy. Well, they do have one crazy storyline with the Jonathan Cooper thing, but they don't have a lot of wild position competitions going on. You know, I think the big one for the Broncos right now is the corner one. I don't even think. I think it's like who's going to be the third receiver? Who's going to be that guy? That you know, is it Pat Bryant? Is it Troy Franklin? Or is it Marvin Mims Jr.? I saw a story in the Post this morning. This is the one I was talking about. Can Davis Webb unlock Marvin Mims Jr.? But then I'm hearing Pat Bryant's having a really good camp. Jalen Waddle was kind of limping. Sean Payton's still saying he thinks he's fine. He'll be back in training. He'll be back at it next week, but he might just skip a few practices here. But that's kind of the interesting one. Who's the third receiver? Which is a good problem to have. If I remember, Mike, for the longest time every year going in, and it was a quarterback controversy. It was always a quarterback controversy. I don't know if I believe Bo Nix is a Hall of Famer. I don't know that I believe he will become an elite tier one quarterback. But I will say it is so freaking nice to be able to get to be at this point in early August without having to have a quarterback debate or the decision 2026 like we've had for so many years before the Broncos drafted Bo Nix.
I mean, when they drafted him, you knew, oh, this guy's going to start. Whether you liked
actually,
his talent
you
or
didn't.
Not, you knew he
well,
was going to start.
Well, you knew eventually he would, but there was still debate whether he was going to start week one for Denver. There was at this point, 2 years ago, there was a slight conversation of, do you put him on the bench, kind of like what the Raiders are going to do with their whole Kirk Cousins thing? Or do you just throw him to the Wolves game one? There was a tiny little debate about that. And then as the preseason went along, it was, okay, it's Bo Nix, and then he's never turned back. So I got to say, it's a nice luxury to have, and the Broncos are in a great position with that. The fact that we're talking about who's going to be the third wide receiver, who's going to be the, you know, can Jahdae Barron put some pressure on Jaquan McMillan at the nickelback position. Who would take over? This is a bigger one, I suppose. But if Jonathan Cooper, if that thing goes south, who's going to start opposite of Nick Benito? Is it going to be Jonah Ellis, Robinson? Those are, that one's kind of big, but really, for the most part, you feel damn good about this roster. When 2 years ago, I believe it was the Four Letter Network that came out and said the Broncos have one of the worst rosters in the league, and their defense went on that very year and was one of the best in the league, and they made it to the playoffs.
I just wonder if the Four Letter Network has smart people working for them.
No,
sometimes they say the dumbest stuff.
But to be honest, Mike, we didn't think their roster was that good. You did, because you live in this fantasy land. But I even said, like, their roster, nobody stood out at the time. Nick Benito was not the same Nick Benito 2 years ago. The last two seasons have been phenomenal for him. Pat Surtain was very good, but you didn't have Hufanga at safety. I think they just got Zach Allen, so there were still a lot of questions. And Bo Nix was a rookie quarterback, and you weren't 100% sure what your running back situation was like. So there were questions around this roster, and they answered all those questions, and the roster has gotten significantly better over the last two seasons. And that's George Payton and Sean Payton working together to make this thing happen.
Yeah, I think the most important debate that we've had this year, and for us it wasn't even a debate, but the most important conversation we've had is the play calling duties. Like, I think that's the most important thing. We know our defense is solid. We know Bo Nix, some like him better than others, but the real question is, are the plays going to come in on time? Are we going to have these frivolous timeouts being called all the time? I think that's the most important conversation we've had, and it's nice to have that conversation as opposed to Bo Nix versus the backup.
Right. No, it's a luxury. It's a great luxury. 150 the time. What did we learn? Coming up next, keep it here on the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Let the fellas guide you to work every day. Hear traffic updates and Good Morning NoCo weekdays at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
What do we learn on this sixth day of August? Juice Vereen, courtesy of our friends over at CSU, is on the named to the preseason watch list for the John Mackey Award. This Nolan Wells story is absolutely wild. Kevin Lytle, you can talk to us a little bit about coaches' expectations. It's hard to tell. First day of camp was yesterday, so I don't know. It was one of those days, Mike. And we learned that Lonnie Walker was a nugget. Now he's just a training camp nugget, and he's got to fight for a spot. So that was interesting. Michael, what'd you learn today?
I think we already know this, but don't threaten someone online or in person. Like, let law enforcement do their job. Enough information to make a serious judgment. Shut up online.
I guess. I don't know. I'm not saying anything like that yet, because there's just so much information that's not out about that story. That'll do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Friday. Happy preseason. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.